Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Do you have courage? Do you have the courage to actually listen to that inner voice within you? Well, today we're going to be talking about that. You know, when you can tune into that inner voice, everything changes. Why is that? Well, it's that way because that is the voice of wisdom. That is the voice of courage. That is the voice of abundance, of wealth, of everything comes from that voice within. But you know, I've found over the years that everybody has that voice, but most people have what I would call an undeveloped voice. In other words, they're kind of running on 50-50, right? Maybe sometimes they listen to that inner voice and the other times they don't. The reason they don't is because they're kind of addicted to listening to things from outside themselves. People, places, things, leaders, celebrities, you listen to all that, and then you make decisions based on what they're telling you to do or not to do. Well, today we're going to help you to change that out. Instead of living from the outside in, we're going to teach you a little bit of how to live from the inside out in a much greater way to bring more awareness, more consciousness to the decisions you make, to have more health, more vitality, more life, more joy, more everything in your life that you've been longing for. Listen, if you're going through some tough times right now, you're going through some changes and what have you, I can almost guarantee that those tough times come from this inner thinking, this outside in thinking, right? You've been programmed a certain way to think certain thoughts, to act a certain way, to do certain things. And listen, if you're not getting the results that you want, you know, peace of mind, joy, happiness, then it's time to switch it up. It's time to learn how to go within so you don't go without. I have a guest on my show today that will amaze you. He sold over 50 million books. And when I come back, we will have him on the show.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you. If you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just return it for a full refund.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're calling the show today, The Courage to Reclaim Your Soul's Voice. My guest today is the one and only Matthew Kelly. You sold over 50 million books and a whole bunch more. I'm going to introduce you in a second, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ken. Good to be with you.
It's so good to have you. Okay, so for those of you that don't know Matthew, he's a New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Amazon USA Today best-selling author, 37 books, over 50 million books sold. He's a thought leader, he's an entrepreneur, and I want to say he's also a spiritual leader. He has dedicated his life to helping people and organizations become better versions of themselves. He was born in Sydney, Australia. He began speaking and writing in his late teens while he was attending business school. Since that time, 5 million people have attended his seminars and presentations in more than 50 countries. Matthew, it's an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
All right. Let me just start you from the beginning, Matt. You know, your first novel, can you share, like, what was the purpose, the passion, the inspiration or significance that got you moving in the book writing field?
Yeah, well, I've been writing nonfiction for almost 30 years now, and what struck me about fiction and nonfiction was that the power of story is undeniable. I've always used a lot of stories in my nonfiction, but I'd always wanted to write fiction, and so when I sat down to write The Rocking Chair Prophet, it had probably been a dream of mine for 20 years, and I've been talking to people about not delaying their dreams for my whole life, and it is a dream that I delayed, and it tragically so, because it was such a great project to work on, and the response has been absolutely phenomenal. And there are people out there who just don't read nonfiction, and so I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to tell a story with a message. I wanted to tell a story that, you know, has positive characters in a culture that is, you know, I think getting darker and darker and more negative.
Well, it seems like two things are going in from my point of view. You're right. It is getting darker and darker. But the other part is it's getting lighter and lighter. And those two are coming together at some point. And in my world, the light wins. But we'll see. We'll see. So why don't we talk a little bit? Yeah, let me put the newest book here up on the screen here so people can see it. The newest book is called The Rocking Chair Prophet. And what are readers going to walk away with after reading this book?
Well, I think a big one is one of your big topics, and that is learning how to listen to that voice within. I think that is the primary theme of the book. And the idea that when we're children, we hear this voice with great clarity, and we experience unmitigated joy in childhood. And as we get older, we doubt that voice. We're taught to doubt that voice. We're encouraged to doubt that voice. We're taught to listen to, you know, so-called experts, and nobody's a better expert on you than you. And yet we abandon that expertise of self, and we start listening to all these other voices, and then we get these thoughts in our heads, which really just is head trash, and all the time we're drowning out this inner voice. And so when we listen to it, it grows stronger. When we ignore it, it grows fainter. And so your idea of rediscovering it, your idea of reclaiming that voice is really very simple. And that is, got to start listening to it, got to start following it. The more you listen to it and live out in it, the stronger and stronger it will get. So at first, you might need to spend some time in silence to really hear it and listen to it. But over time, you'll be able to hear it even in a noisy place because it will get that strong within you.
It will get strong within us. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to have to feel some pain or go through some struggling until they can tune into that voice. And sometimes that's the catalyst for people to tune into that voice. You know, the opening line of your book says, you never really know who you are until you've suffered, really suffered. But once you know, you can never forget. And from that moment on, things you've never considered possible start happening. So why do you say that?
Well, firstly, I'll tell you, I spent probably 100 hours working just on the opening line. I usually write the opening line last, or at least come back and rewrite it last. I probably rewrote that line 250 times. I wanted the reader to know that suffering has value. I wanted the reader to know that there is wisdom to be gained from suffering. And I wanted the reader to know that wherever you are, whatever you've come from, whatever you think the worst thing you've done or the worst thing you've experienced, like, there is a path forward, and we're about to embark on that path forward. I think very often people, because of what they've experienced or what they've done and how they feel about what they've done, they discount themselves or they disqualify themselves from certain things. And I wanted to get that off the table straight out of the gate and get people to realize your suffering has value. We shouldn't go looking for it, but there is unavoidable suffering in life, and it does have value.
It does have value. And I know my own personal story. I woke up in 1992, I think it was, and I was hearing this little voice, you got to feel the pain to make the change. Because at that time, I didn't want to feel anything. I just want to play, have fun, party, do whatever, right? Yep. But, you know, it was when I stopped and said, okay, I'm going to start doing the worst first. I'm going to start doing things that feel difficult, that make me go through suffering, right? Whether it's going to the gym to work out or changing what I eat or, you know, letting go of relationships or stepping into a new business, things that were very difficult. And I agree with you. And sometimes, you know, I've gone through physical pain that I know a lot of my listeners have. You know, and that physical pain, there's transformation in that. If we listen, 100%. If we listen. Yeah. Yeah. So as you wrote this book, right, I have a saying that books write us. We don't necessarily write books. Mm. How did this book change you as you wrote the book?
So the main character is Daniel, and he sort of has a charmed life, and then he experiences really an unspeakable tragedy. And I think people look at people with charmed lives, and it's just an external thing, right? When you really get inside their lives, you realize, well, they got stuff going on themselves. They have, you know, burdens and struggles and all those sorts of things. But, people ask me, like, is it biographical? It isn't biographical. I'm not Daniel. I would like to be more like Daniel in some ways. I think that Ezra, who is like an elder mentor type figure to Daniel, I think Ezra in a lot of ways is like my father. And my dad's been dead 20 years, and I didn't really realize I was writing my father into that character until probably editing the third or the fourth draft. And so it's interesting how unconscious we can be of things like that, even when we're trying to do something with great intentionality. But how did it change me? It changed me definitely from the point of view of, like, what the heck have you been doing? Like, you've had this idea, you've had this dream for 20 years, you've kept delaying this dream, and really caused me to examine why did you delay that dream for so long? And there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, some reasons were certain things with certain people and family and kids and things like that. Other reasons were, I think, not good reasons. And they were like, okay, well, commercially, once you've written a very successful book, publishers just want you to stay in that genre. And they don't want you to move outside of that genre because your success in that genre is guaranteed almost, if you've had enough success in that genre. So I think there was some sort of fear of coming into a different genre as well, even though I've skipped genres before, from spirituality to business to self-help to children's books. I have skipped around a place, but in hindsight, I think there was a fear of that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. And, you know, the book seems to have this little theme that runs through it of transformational, personal growth, change. I want to explore that a little bit when we get back. We'll be right back.
We'll do it.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you. If you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just return it for a full refund.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Voices of Courage show. We're exploring some insights into Matthew Kelly's new book. Matthew, the book seems to have this theme, like I said, transformation, personal development, personal growth, change, you know, kind of weaves through it in a very masterful way. What's the significance of that for the book and also for writing this?
Well, I think that if you ask people, you know, what do you want? Most people would summarize that down to, I want to be happy, you know, or I want happiness. And if we take a deeper dive into that, you know, one of the things that you talk about often is the idea of, okay, are we living from the inside out or are we living from the outside in? I think most people are living from the outside in. I don't think it leads to happiness. I think we have plenty of evidence of that in our own lives. We don't need anyone to point that out to us necessarily. But I think we need to start doing some sort of experimental observation of our own lives and saying, okay, I'm doing this. I want to be happy. Is that really bringing me happiness? And so to come full circle to your question, it tends to be when we are growing, particularly internally, and when we are in a state of or the process of personal transformation, that tends to be when we are happiest. And so on one hand, we've got a whole culture screaming out, I want to be happy, I want to be happy, I want to be happy. We've got a whole culture chasing happiness. And yet we tend to ignore the one thing that is proven to deliver happiness to the human person, and that is the inner life. That is living from the outside, from the inside out, and really growing as a human being, becoming a better version of ourselves.
Well, I've been a coach for the last 30 years, and one of the questions that I ask people initially when they start working with me is, what are you tolerating? Like, what are you tolerating in your home life, in your business, in your personal relationship, maybe with your wife or your children? What are you tolerating with your health? Right? What are you tolerating? And that seems to like wake people up, because a lot of times we just kind of go through life and we think this is the way it is. We're just tolerating this or that. I think that from my point of view, it all shifts from that subject that we're talking about. Being able to tune into the inner voice is one aspect of it. Another aspect is what we're talking about today, and that is bringing some wisdom in from a book like this beautiful book that you've written, and then not just read the pages, but see how the pages apply to us. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. I think, my dad used to say, I have 7 brothers, so I grew up with 8 boys in the house, and it was intense, and we'd be eating certain things, and like most parents at some point, my dad used to say garbage in, garbage out, and he used to say that if we were watching certain TV shows, used to say, garbage in, garbage out. And I really do believe what we read today walks and talks with us tomorrow. I believe what we watch today walks and talks with us tomorrow. The idea that, oh, it's just entertainment is a really dangerous idea. The idea that, oh, this is my guilty pleasure is actually a really dangerous idea, because when we're in those spaces, mentally, intellectually, psychologically, and spiritually, we're actually, we put down all our critical senses. And so we're just purely absorbing this content, which most of the time is crap and really bad for us from the point of view of, okay, would you like to be that person in the TV show? No, absolutely not. But we're absorbing this stuff and it's radioactive. So, I'm a big proponent of books. People are reading less and less. I think the difference between interesting people and boring people, to be honest, is the content they consume. And very often, are they readers or non-readers? I love one of my favorite questions, because I'm an introvert by nature. I don't like crowds. I don't like parties. If I don't know anybody, and so one of the things I've learned over the years is like different ways to engage with people. And one of my favorite questions is, what are you reading at the moment? Because there's so many amazing books out there and there isn't time to read them all. And I love when like I get a reader and they've read a great book and they like download to me like, this is great book and this was it and this was it. And I love that. So books change our lives. We become the books we read. And like when I wrote The Rocking Chair Prophet, like there's these chapters that are on specific titles. You've got love, you've got depression, you've got work, you've got money, you've got these enormous subjects that are central to the human experience. And my hope was that people would read the story, but that there would be times when they would come back, when they would say to themselves, you know what, I need to go back and read that chapter on love, or I need to go back and just read that chapter on work or money or parenting or depression or whatever it was. That really was the hope in writing the book.
Yeah, that's good. You know, when I think about what you said, you asked the question, what are you reading now? I'm reading a book, a works from a guy by the name of Swami Vivekananda, who came into the United States back in 1884 and brought some wisdom from the East about yoga. And my next book will be The Rocking Chair Prophet, because that's I surround myself, because we are what we consume. I surround myself with wisdom books, with books that inspire me to be me, inspire me to tap into the wisdom of the ages, inspire me to do better and be better, you know. And by the way, I don't know about you, but I seem to have a very poor memory, you know, like I'll start out my day really good, and then something will come up and somebody will say something, man, I can go into those emotional states that aren't pretty. And then I have to remember. So that's why I'm constantly reading and you know, putting those into my life, right? How about you? Is that what you do? Is that what happens for you? By the way, we put on the screen before you answer that, MatthewKelly.com for my audio audience, MatthewKelly.com. You can connect with Matthew there and also get his book there, The Rocking Chair Prophet. You can get that anywhere, right? Anywhere you like to buy a book, go find Rocking Chair Prophet. But all right, so go ahead, Matthew, answer that question.
So I'm a huge lover of books. I have about 7,000 books in my personal library. I'm a lover of wisdom, you know. So you talked about wisdom. I think that you know, we're publishing more and more books that have less and less wisdom, which is tragic. And I'm open to getting the wisdom from wherever it's coming from, you know. And sometimes it comes from reading a history book, and sometimes it comes from reading spirituality, you know, from many different traditions, you know, other than the tradition that you grew up in. And sometimes it comes from a children's book. I think it's, you know, it's amazing. I was recently asked to write an introduction to the 100th anniversary edition of The Velveteen Rabbit. And going back and reading The Velveteen Rabbit again and before writing the introduction and just looking at that book written 100 years ago, written for children, more relevant probably for adults, but certainly just as relevant for adults. So the wisdom can be found in lots of different places, and I'm open to finding it
where it is. And so am I. All right, listen, I'm going to take another quick break. When we get back, I want to know about you. I want to know about your mind. Like, what does your mind think? What is the mind of this brilliant writer? Some of you are writers out there on my show, I know. So you want to listen to this. And those that aren't writers, that's okay. You might have a book in you. You don't even know you have a book in you. So,
are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. And over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you. If you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just return it for a full refund.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie. common or garden. Anne and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest, Matthew Kelly, in just a second. But I want to send this message out to you. You know, I mentioned on several shows that the way that we change ourselves is service and being of service to others and also being service to programs like this that you really like. So my appeal to you today is to go out there and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also let one person, just one person, know about our show. That's how we grow. That's how we change this consciousness of the world together. That's how we all improve and become the best version of ourselves. It's when we spread things that have true wisdom, true understanding, true brilliance in the world so that we can start to program our minds with that instead of some of the other stuff that's out there. All right. That's my appeal to you. Matthew is back with me. Okay, Matthew. So your brain, you've got this brilliant brain. Were you born with this? Was it developed? What happened here?
I think I have a unique way of thinking. I don't know about brilliant. I have a unique way of thinking, but I'm also relentlessly curious, you know. So I talked about wanting to ask people, what are you reading, and having great conversations. Another great conversation I have is to find out, like, if I'm talking to someone for the first time, like, what do they know more about than anything else? You know, and they might be an architect or they might be a gardener. It doesn't matter, but everybody has an expertise. And by working out, what do you know more about than anything else? And then talking about that, I always find that a fascinating conversation as well. I'm fascinated with the way people work. So I'm fascinated with work process. You know, if I meet another author, I'm always curious to know, like, how do you approach writing a book? I approach writing a book in a certain way. How do other authors approach writing a book? I love reading books that reflect or show, you know, what the work process was of great authors, of great artists, of great scientists. For me, when I write a book, it's sort of a planned out thing. I always start with 10 chapters and 10 points in each chapter. And my books never end up being 10 chapters. Sometimes chapters combine and they never end up having 10 points. But I start with 10 chapters, 10 points. I write 600 words on each point and I've got my first draft. And it doesn't matter how bad the first draft is. Once I've got my first draft, I can work on that draft anywhere. I can work on it in airplanes. I can work on it in hotels. I can work on it while the kids are screaming. I can work on that anywhere. And so, like, that's my process. And I'm always fascinated to hear what other people's processes are. And I think that's just one example of sort of a curiosity that I have about life and people and their work process that I think has helped me to be successful.
I love that. Well, my first book I wrote was a book called Ask and You Will Succeed. It's 1,001 daily questions, or let's say 1,001 ordinary questions to create extraordinary life. And so, you know, I didn't know anything about writing books when I started, right? Zero. Like I couldn't even spell. Thank goodness for spell check, right? For the checkers. You know, I think for me, you know, one of the things that helps, and you've just asked it because I love your curious mind. You started asking questions, and I think sometimes people don't know the questions to ask. But I also like the way that you laid it out. When I write now, I lay out actually 12 chapters, and then I ask myself, what are the benefits I want to get for each chapter for my reader? So I ask that question, right? And say he's writing that down is a good idea. So you ought to be writing that down too if you're watching my show. Hey, you got a book in you. But listen, I haven't sold as many books as Matthew by any stretch of the imagination. So you've got something else going on there, because people really love your books, but you must also have a very strong marketing arm out there. You've aligned with some people that are really know what they're doing, is what my guess is.
There's no question. I think that the first thing is to understand I started publishing in 93, and there was a real shift, you know, towards the end of the 90s when the Amazon era came. But when I started writing, I was also speaking. So as a public speaker, you're out there. And, you know, I was traveling for 20 years. I was traveling more than 250 days a year. And so when you're in a new city, 250 days a year, you're meeting new people. And there's something about when you come to people's place, when you come to their hometown, and sometimes they're big cities and sometimes they're little places, and you have to do both, to really build an audience. And when you do that over and over and over for many, many years, you do build that audience. But as I say, that I think the second thing was the world changed, you know, with the onset of Amazon, and certainly the publishing industry changed with the onset of Amazon. But one thing that I have always been in favor of is selling books where there is no competition. So if you walk into Barnes & Noble, there's 100,000 other titles, literally. And so your book is up against 100,000 other titles for people's time, attention, and they're very, very hard-earned money. What I realized was that's a horrible place to try and sell a book. As a public speaker, you realize, okay, well, at the back of the room, your book is the only book they can buy. There's no competition there. And so I've continued to look for places similar to that, but in the virtual space, where we can sell books directly to the consumer, and where we're not being, you know, put in a pile of 100,000 different books, I would say has been significant.
Yeah. I like that you said the world is changing. Yes, and it's changing again, right? So, you know, it changed over COVID, so nobody could go out to the bookstores and buy books. So now you've got people wanting, you know, buying online, more and more. And now it's changing again with AI, right? Will people need a book in the future? I mean, when they can ask a question and they get an answer instantly. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think it's a fascinating question, because one of the things that we're seeing in our culture is the reduction of attention span. And the reduction of attention span and the reduction of intelligence are linked. And so as people are consuming shorter and shorter content rather than long form content, whether it's an interview like this or a book or whatever, they are developing different muscles. And what I would say to people is develop those long form muscles, expand your attention span, because that attention span is going to serve you very, very powerfully in a lot of other different ways. And the culture wants to shorten your attention span. And I think that's a very dangerous thing. Also leads to impulse control issues. And The final thing I would say on that in our culture is we have a lot of big problems to solve as a culture. And we're only going to solve those big problems with deep thought. And that deep thought requires an expanded attention span. And so work on your deep thought, work on expanding your attention span. If you have children, I would work so hard. I've got five between the ages of 6 and 14, working so hard to help them develop, you know, extended attention spans, because it will be the difference, I think, between success and failure in the future.
Well, you make a really good point, Matthew, around the attention span. And, you know, it's interesting because, as you mentioned, attention span and intelligence are linked. So why people would want to dumb themselves down is a little beyond me. But one of the ways we can start to expand consciousness, expand our experience, is actually a couple ways, right? One is listening to that still voice within us, learning how to still that mind, still that voice, and go within. And the other one, of course, is reading books like yours that help us expand our consciousness, expand our presence. What say you on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the third one is just spending time in silence in general. Silence is a great teacher. Silence is a great custodian of wisdom. And there's something just about being in silence. And if we're unable to be in silence, if we're uncomfortable in silence, if we're uncomfortable in our own company, these are red flags for how successfully we're going to listen to that voice within us and how, you know, successfully we're going to live out our lives. If we're uncomfortable in our own company, we will almost certainly end up with the wrong person when it comes to relationships. So spending time in silence, spending time in solitude, getting comfortable in your own company, getting comfortable in the silence. And like anything, you know, I think you build that muscle, you know, just like you build a physical muscle. You know, maybe you spend 3 minutes in silence each day for a week, and then you spend 4 minutes in silence each day for a week. And people always say to me, well, what do I do in the silence? It really doesn't matter. You know, you just sit there. And over time, you'll be led to how to spend that time in the silence. But don't spend the silence, oh, I got to do this, and this in the silence. Just learn to be. I think is another thing that will definitely expand our consciousness and definitely expand our attention span.
Well, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, who was the you know, the most creative person in Renaissance, said that isolation is the price of greatness. And Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, one of the sages that came into the country in 1924, said that stillness is the price of greatness. And I really like what you said about you just start where you are. You know, because what happens with commitment is providence moves. The people, places, and things that you need to go deeper into your meditation, to go longer into your meditation, will start to show up. But, you know, it takes commitment. And it takes going every single day, just saying, this is my commitment. I'm going to go into the stillness. And by the way, there is no stillness when you start a meditation. All you have is the mind going back and forth, right? But eventually, we become the observer of the mind, and we realize we're not the mind and we're not the body, and we can start to connect deeper within our own self. And the good news that I've learned over the last 30 years as a meditator is that it's a way to develop what we're talking about on this show. It's a way to develop that inner voice. So, you know, intuition is 100% accurate, right, Matthew? It's 100%. Why would we want to just run on other people's thoughts and other people's opinions and even the program that we have in our own mind? Why wouldn't we tap into something greater? And I'll just finish with this, and I got another question for you. Albert Einstein once said, all I want to know are the thoughts of God, right? The rest are details. Well, he was talking about tapping into the superconscious mind, the universal mind, the Akashic records, whatever you want to call this. There, we all share the same database. Are you tapping into it or not, right? So, you know, and for me, when I read a book like your book, what happens is my mind starts to get still. It starts to go within. It starts to open up its creativity and starts to become aware. it starts to become aware of new things. So the rocking chair prophet will help you do that. That's what I know. What do you know, Matthew?
Well, yeah, I think a great book comforts you in your afflictions and afflicts you in your comforts. And that's why we're hungry for shows like this, for great books, because we do need to be comforted in our afflictions and we do need to be afflicted in our comforts. And both of those dynamics are part of growing. I'm drawn to sort of where you started the show and the idea of what are you tolerating in your life was your question. In the Rocking Chair Prophet, Daniel experiences something, and it's this experience of dissatisfaction. And at first, his temptation is to just dismiss the dissatisfaction, but he's encouraged to follow the wisdom of going into the dissatisfaction, to believe that the dissatisfaction of your life is speaking to you, and that the dissatisfaction of your life, you know, has something very valuable and something very wise to tell you and to teach you. And so I would say to every reader, I would say to every listener, you know, what is the dissatisfaction in your life right now? And to put that in your mind before you start reading The Rocking Chair Prophet, to really identify, okay, the dissatisfaction in my life right now is X, and write it inside the front cover. And then to read the book through the lens of that dissatisfaction and allow the book to speak specifically to that dissatisfaction. And I guarantee you a very, very powerful experience just by bringing that tiny little added bit of intentionality to reading The Rocking Chair Prophet, but really to any book. You know, anytime you have a big question, big life question, to put the question and to define the question before you start reading the book, and then to read the book and allow the book to speak to that question, I have found to be a very powerful practice.
It's the reason I wrote this book, Asking You Will Succeed, because a lot of times people don't have the right questions to form. But I love that question. Where are you dissatisfied in your life? And by the way, you might have the answer. Well, I'm dissatisfied with my wife. I'm dissatisfied with my job. I'm dissatisfied with my children. I'm dissatisfied with my health. I'm dissatisfied.
To eradicate these things and people from your life, you know, there might be some actual work to do there.
Well, I have a philosophy that I give all my coaching clients. I said, listen, man, if it's not working for you, it's not working for your boss. If it's not working for you, it's not working for your wife. Where I'm just reframing that, because that's what I do. You know, honestly, it's not. And if you really look at that, it's not. Okay. So it's, you know, part of this, you know, what I love about you and your book, you know, it's about tuning into truth and being a truth seeker and being able to, you know, let go of all the emotion around, you know, am I going to change or not change or this or that. It's like being open to receive something new, you know, and finding out, realizing that, honestly, you know, life is such a journey, right, Daniel? It's like we're here learning, growing, evolving. And if you're not, then you're probably stagnant. You're probably living a mediocre life, but you don't have to.
No.
Read Daniel's book. All right. I got to run. Daniel, I appreciate you being on the show. And I hope you'll come back and share some more of your wisdom when you can.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
We really appreciate it. Any final thoughts?
No, just great to be with you. I think love the living life from the inside out, and you know, hope that inspiration touches your readers today and your listeners.
I hope so too, and thank you again for being here. And I want to thank all of you for listening to the show today. You know my philosophy. It's this: see the unseeable in your life. Start to know the unknowable in your life. And if you do, you'll be able to do the impossible. Till next time.